Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you so much for joining us live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio Live. It's a real pleasure to have you here. Thanks so much for making us a part of your day. Really appreciate you being with us. We're also excited to have Dr. Cindy Peterson joining us from Austin, Texas, live on this episode of Close Up Radio Live. She is an extraordinary leadership coach and CEO of Courageous Leadership Coaching and Consulting. And through her work, using the most practical techniques, tools, and strategies, Dr. Peterson coaches leaders to become the best version of themselves. Before starting her own coaching and consulting business, Dr. Peterson enjoyed a highly successful career for over 20 lucrative years as the CEO for Gateway Community Charters Public Education. Today, working with both leaders and organizations driven by a sense of deep purpose and her incredible passion for people, she's bringing high energy, authenticity, and enthusiasm to helping leaders through their personal and professional development experiences. Moreover, she emphasizes that her role as a coach is not to provide all the answers that those that you would think would be for the answers, but rather to help clients seek within and sort of find their own answers with her support and help. Considering she does both coaching and consulting, oftentimes the lines between the two can be somewhat blurred, but there are, however, clear distinctions. With coaching, she acts as her client's mentor by asking thought-provoking questions so they find their own clarity, guiding them to pull out your own answers from within. On the other hand, with her consulting work, she provides her knowledge, experience, and expertise, basically telling the client what should be done by providing them with the right answers. And through the coaching work, she meets you where you are in your life, helping you defy your negative inner voice and devise an actionable plan and empower you towards achieving your goals. She loves what she does. Her clients love her. And we're going to share her story with you right now on Close Up Radio Live. First, let's welcome her to the program. Dr. Peterson, thanks so much for joining us here on Close Up Radio Live today. It's a pleasure to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim, for having me. I'm so honored to be here today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And, you know, I like to sort of humanize the guests in the beginning and sort of delve into a little bit of what inspired them, what led them on their own life's journey to what they do now and what they love so much. For you, what are some of those things along the way that kind of pointed you in the direction of wanting to get into coaching and into, you know, courageous leadership and consulting and really helping people, guide people on the path to fulfillment, happiness, joy, and success?
Yes, thank you for that question. I, you know, there are so many things, and I think as in all things, there are positive reasons why and maybe challenging reasons why. I think I look at my own career and I see times when people really poured into me and times I would have been desperate and would have appreciated someone coaching me and helping me. And as I got farther on in my career and had some wonderful coaches who did in fact help me grow and become more and then help me give those same skills and abilities and ways of being with the people I led, those kinds of things just led me to want to continue that great work, understanding people need coaches in their lives. They need people to pour into them, to care about them, to help them become all they're capable of becoming. And it's just such an honor when you can be a part of that journey with someone.
I can only imagine, right? And that's the role that you have as a coach. Let's define that and explain that to our audience. Tell us about your role as a coach.
Well, I think coaching is a lot about unlocking what potential lies inside people so they can really become all they would like to be for the sake of themselves, their organizations, their families, and their community. How do you help people unlock what's inside of them? I remember early on in maybe I was in my teens, I read a book called Inner Game of Tennis by Tim Galloway, and it talked about, I've never forgotten this equation, that your performance equals your potential minus your interference. And, you know, sometimes our interference is external, but a lot of times, as Tim Galloway said, it's in our own heads, it's in our own way of what's our story, what's getting in our way is ourselves, right? And so, you know, I love this ability to be a coach, to be able to really help people see what's interfering with their potential, right? How do I bring that as a coach to them to not be an expert in their field, but to be maybe a little expert at the skills and abilities to help draw them out into their excellence?
That's so very, very important. You know, there are nuances, I'm sure, that sort of blend within each other, but then there's marked uniquenesses. Tell us the difference between coaching and consulting.
Yeah, I do think as a coach, you know, you're kind of that builder of people. You're helping them along their journey. You're guiding them to grow themselves or their teams. And you're just helping them maybe hold up a mirror to see who they are, how they're showing up, how is that working for them, and how might they do something different, you know, or more. Or so it's that idea that coaching is an intimate relationship that supports, guides, but is drawing them out about how they within themselves need to move forward to be more excellent. As a consultant, it's really more about being kind of a knowledge, expertise, competency. It's about maybe some subject matter, you know, excellence. It's about bringing tools that they might need that are specific to whatever challenge they're facing. And, you know, I think it's very different, the two, for me. Coaching and consulting are very different.
I mentioned in the introduction a little bit about courageous leadership. What does that mean to you?
You know, I am always speaking about courage in leadership and courage in life. I think everyday courage is something we should all aspire to practice. And so for me, courageous leadership, I mean, at the heart of courage, in its, you know, etymology of the word, is heart, right? And so courageous leadership is about showing up with heart. It's about showing up with integrity and compassion. It's about being willing to reach high for yourself and for others, staying the course and embracing your challenges, learning from your failures, and getting back up and being resilient. It's kind of, I guess, a messy thing, Jen, to explain, but for me, you know, it's what we should all aspire for as leaders in our organizations and in our families and in our communities, is to show up with courage.
And speaking of the organizations, from your perspective, Dr. Peterson, why is it that leadership is so critical to any organization's success, large, small, entrepreneurial, Fortune 500, all of it?
Well, I think that we've all seen the flip side of that coin. You know, how many things you read in the paper about organizations that, you know, turn to turmoil or, you know, lose their way, or even worse, hurt people, lose millions of dollars. That's always about a absence of leadership. So I think we see every day how it hurts so many people when there is an absence of leadership. So to me, that also talks to the other side of it, how important leadership is. There are consequences to poor leadership. And so I think the other thing that we're facing in the world today is what some have called the silver tsunami. And that is, you know, a generation of leaders are retiring or have retired. And so we have a lot of young leaders. So I think, you know, leaders and growing leaders could never be more important than it is today.
The tools and techniques that you have sort of in your own toolbox that you share with your clients, tell us about that, the tools and techniques that you use within your coaching practice.
Well, I think every good coach, of course, their number one tool is listening. So being a good listener, showing up and really hearing, asking good questions. Being a good coach is about having a lot of questions and the ability to practice wait time to allow your client to really reflect and to really answer and to come to some of those understandings themselves. I think the other thing I have is I have a variety of assessments I use that are, you know, available in the world at large that help you identify your strengths, your constraints, your values, what motivates you. And so I think a number of those things as a starting point for a leader are always critical. You know, we anecdotally think we know ourselves, but it's always really important for a leader to get both outside and more subjective information about their leadership that they can then reflect on as part of their growth journey.
Which is really so vitally important in the long run, absolutely. You know, they say the role of a leader has the definition and the application of it has morphed, tweaked, sort of gone into an even more positive direction, meaning that it used to be the boss up in the ivory tower looking down at everybody and you never really interacted with that boss, never knew much about them, they didn't know much about you, and they were up in the sky in the penthouse suite. But now a lot of effective leaders are rolling up their sleeves, they're being entrepreneurial, they're listening to the staffs and to the issues and really applying emotional intelligence, empathy in the way that they lead, which is such a positive thing. And I think in the bottom line, it actually results in a better bottom line because then the folks that are the employees are, you know, feel appreciated and valued. And they want to work harder and they want to participate and feel like they are participating. I would imagine that sort of transition is a positive one. And from what you've observed, and one of the good qualities of making a good leader, right?
Absolutely. You know, I believe that, you know, some of the work of late is about leading with heart. And certainly, you know, I've done a bit of research in this myself. I have the opportunity to be a dissertation chair and adjunct professor for University of Massachusetts Global. And so I was a part of an entire research project around leading with the heart, leading from your heart. And it is something that is really desirable today, like you said, from the sake of outcomes for your organization. But more than that, people want to work for you and with you. And yes, that parlays into productivity, that gives you better outcomes. But it's also, you know, what we want to do as a leader in organization. We want to have a place where people want to come to work, where they want to be with us, where they want to grow with us, why they want to create with us and maybe impact the world with us. I mean, we're all kind of in that sense of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you've ever looked at that, it's about getting to those higher levels of self-actualization. And we want that in the workplace as well as in our everyday life. And so, you know, when you're a good leader, I think you show up, as Brené Brown says, vulnerable, you know, with your whole heart. She calls it wholeheartedness. You know, people want their leader to be authentic, to be, you know, and then other things I think a leader needs to be is we need to be resilient, persistent. In this world, we've got to adapt, you know, and then, you know, as well as the compassion and the empathy and the heart, you know, one quality of a good leader I think we often don't talk about is a leader has to be someone who's curious and always learning. Like they're a sponge looking for what else is there I should know, I could know, I can understand, I can bring to my organization and my team. And I think that's another thing that people in our organizations want. They also want you to help them learn and grow. So you can't do that if you are not modeling learning and growing.
That's right, exactly. One of the things that you do is you don't hold their hands, but you give your clients the tools and resources they need that they can call upon, which I think is so vitally important as part of the tools and techniques that you use. What are some of the skills and value you feel, in addition to all of that, that you bring additionally to your coaching work?
Well, I think my number one value throughout my own leadership journey, and it still holds true today, is that I believe in people. I believe in people. I believe people are critically important, that they are capable of so much more. They don't know their greatness, that they are, I believe in their ability to grow and become. I believe in their potential. I just bring to my coaching a huge care, compassion, heart, and belief in people. And what that creates are relationships that last for life beyond, you know, your coaching time together, because you really are not thinking, you know, how can I earn this paycheck? You're thinking, how can I be with this person deeply? How can I help them in meaningful ways? And I think that that showing up like that makes a big difference in people's lives. I also believe that leaders should think of themselves as builders, always thinking of themselves as builders. And that's something that I bring to my work with my clients is their understanding that they have to build relationships, the critical aspect of them showing up in relationships, the critical aspect of them seeing beyond themselves and into those who are serving with them. And, you know, disability, I think also the understanding, one of the things I think I really bring to my coaching is to help people understand how critical their why is. If you've ever read Simon Sinek's work, what their why is, what the organization's why is, and what their people's why is. And how do you make sure that your words, actions, direction, intention is always through your why? And I think that's something that I came to in my career after some time and experience, of course, that I think is so critical that I bring to that work with my clients.
It's vital and important and impactful and long-lasting for sure. What are some other things that you think distinguish you from others that are out there that might do similar work?
Well, I haven't done a lot of work about, you know, who else is out there and what brings them to their work. But I think that I uniquely, in my leadership journey, was able to take an organization. It was a charter school organization, so I was the superintendent of schools at the time. We opened one school of 300 students, and we had about 12 employees where I filled every single role. I did it all, from janitor to secretarial work at that point. But I grew that organization over 20 years, and I grew myself and our people from that start, that humble start, to 9 schools serving almost 6,000 students in 20 locations. And, you know, a very significant multi-million dollar budget that is also there. Plus, I took care of 700 plus employees, but that happened over 20 years. And there's nothing to teach you life lessons like 20 years of growing an organization through all of the messy middle. And so many lessons I learned through that time about organizational development, about leadership, about people, about politics. And I think that that is a unique experience within me that taught me a lot of things that not every coach has as they come into this work with their clients.
You know, it's amazing the leaders that are out there. Are there leaders or a particular leader that you admire?
You know, it's such an interesting question. So first of all, I would tell you, I admire every leader who's in the trenches doing the work with their heart, fully engaged and trying their best. I will tell you, they are worthy of our admiration and respect. And I think we should never forget that. And whether they're leading a large organization, a small organization, their family, you know, a faith-based community, leaders who are doing the work, walking the talk, they deserve our respect and admiration. But in thinking maybe of a person who, you know, might be controversial to some extent, but who I think has some of the qualities I've spoken about, I think Mel Robbins, who is a author, speaker, is an amazing woman. She's an amazing woman. And, of course, for me as a woman, I have a strong emphasis on growing women leaders. But what I appreciate about Mel Robbins, she's a little bit she could be a little abrasive at times. People might not like her language at times, but she shows up authentically. She shows up with heart. She addresses real issues for people. You know, I think recently she vulnerably was having a conversation, you know, on the social media regarding, you know, breast implants being recalled and how that affected her. I mean, marriage issues. I mean, she's so real, but she's so loving, and she provides resources, support. But she shows up vulnerably in issues people need to vulnerably hear about and make it okay to talk about. And I think for me, one of the things that she did that always, from the beginning when I first found her on social media, she always ends anything she says with, "If no one has told you this today, I love you." And I think that
That's a message.
So many of us need to hear that, you know. So, yeah.
Very important. Absolutely. What are the future plans you have for this work as you continue to grow it and you continue to share what you do so well?
You know, I love this work. I love what I'm doing. I'm doing quite a bit of writing recently. I've been doing quite a bit of articles. I just finished a chapter for a book of women leaders. I want to definitely use this platform to put in print things that help people in a variety of ways. So I'm certainly looking to grow that part of what I do. In terms of coaching, I have started to get some of the momentum where people tell other people who tell other people who tell other people. And so it's a wonderful thing when people want what somebody else got because they see the value of how it helped them grow. So I'd like to continue that. I don't have a mission to serve a certain number of clients or make a certain dollar. I have a mission to impact those who come to me or who come to me through my website or other places, and I really want to make a difference with intention in their lives in a way that has impact. I mean, that's my future. My future is, how do I make impact? How do I help people? How do I invest in other people? And I certainly am so excited about the possibility of working with you know, leaders to touch their lives, which will then touch the lives of their organizations. And, you know, for me, that's the future. You know, it's looking at the future as full of possibilities of how the impact you do as a coach, you'll never see it all because it's like little circles in a pond when you throw a rock in there, but you know you're touching the future. And so, you know, in my thoughts, I humbly hope that the work I do, writing, coaching, speaking, will touch the lives of others down the road.
Beautifully said. I want to let the audience know you also served as an adjunct professor for Brandman University and the University of Massachusetts Global, where you exemplified your dedication and unstoppable drive helping others unleash their true superpowers. So coaching obviously being a natural fit with your skill set. Tell us about some of that incredible work you've done.
Oh, gosh. The work at Brandman and UMass Global has been amazing. It's probably been, I think, about 12 or 13 years of it. I work, first of all, I teach innovation and creativity courses for them, which is so much fun, helping people who don't think that they could possibly be innovative, help them see ways they can be innovative and creative. It's, again, back to that mindset that gets in your way sometimes. But beyond that, some of the biggest work I've done for them is I am a dissertation chair. I chair research, so I referred to some of that earlier. And it is almost all about transformational leadership. I'm currently working with a group of students around the framework of adaptive leadership and what are leaders doing around adaptive leadership in this, you know, world that we're in right now. And it's such a critical skill. And so it's always first wonderful because just like what you said, I get to coach, I get to pour into them, I get to have deep conversations with them about, you know, leadership and life and what it all means as it comes together with the research. And I just, it's been incredible work. And of course, helping people, again, it's a journey. I have always used that thought that it's a journey. You know, there's a dissertation journey, there's a leadership journey, there's your life journey. And to be alongside people on any and all of those journeys is, it's just always such a blessing to me, you know, and such an honor to be a part of that. So, yes, thank you for asking. I love the work within the dissertations and the teaching.
It's so evident. You can hear the passion in your voice. It's, you know, you basically say to the clients, get ready to tap into your potential so you can perform at your peak, motivate, and become the most effective leader you ever thought possible. And that's something that you've done. And I know it's full circle for you as well, because you get great pleasure and joy out of seeing the progression of people in their own lives and the steps they take and how they flourish. And you sort of guide them. You're sort of like the facilitator of energy that flows through you that helps guide them to where they want to be. And that's incredible work. I encourage folks to go to the website, Dr., and that's Dr. Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, Peterson, Peterson.com, drcindypeterson.com, to connect with the doctor and learn more about the extraordinary work she does. Dr. Peterson, this was fantastic, very eye-opening, inspiring, positive, and appreciate your stopping by Close Up Radio Live today and joining us. And I hope we get a chance to explore some more and maybe your success stories, things of that nature down the line. That would be a pleasure. And I hope that you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you today.
Absolutely, Jim. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You are very, very welcome. We'll chat again soon, I'm sure. Talking with Dr. Cindy Peterson of Courageous Leadership, and that's incredible because she's incredible. Courageous Leadership Coaching and Consulting. We thank her and we thank you. I'm your host, Jim Masters. Stick with us. We'll be back in just a few moments with another incredible guest celebrated right here on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Make it a great one. And bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.